You're listening to Chicago's Afternoon News here on 720 WGNR. Lauren told you just a few minutes ago the city council passed this new Chicago Police Department oversight plan. The vote was 36-16. It came after a public safety committee vote last night. That was 12-8. At the city council today, here's 35th Ward Alderman Carlos Rosa.
This ordinance is predicated on a belief that if we empower people from the south side and the west side and from the north side, that if we empower young people, that if we empower those that have been directly impacted by racist and broken policing, and give them the ability to nominate the police superintendent, give them the ability to take a vote of no confidence when they feel that police superintendent has failed, give them the ability to hire the COPA administrator, give them the ability to set CPD policy and COPA policy and police board policy. It's predicated on the belief that if we empower our communities to have a real say in policing, we'll be a better city.
35th Ward Alderman Carlos Rosa today, as I said, it passed 36-13. That's one of the things I want to talk to Austin Berg about from the Illinois Policy Institute. He joins us now. Austin, welcome back.
Thanks, Steve.
What do you make of this plan?
It's when you have an oversight plan that takes more than a minute to explain to an average person how the people are even elected, you probably need to go back to the drawing board. I think it's really great that Chicago is moving forward on police accountability. It's a really important issue. You have a 260-page work plan from the federal government to improve policing in Chicago. That should be our number one focus. I really worry this is going to become a political sideshow. We have 66 new elected officials plus a new 7-member commission. You've got 3 elected people from each of the 22 police districts in the city. Each 3-person council selects one person to a nominating committee. That person then sends nominees to the mayor's office, and the mayor's office could say yay or nay to nominate a 7-member board of this police commission. And they can basically serve an advisory role. They can do research on the police department. They can make recommendations to the city council. But it's essentially a big, complicated, new political committee on the city council. And I don't have high hopes for real accountability or reform or progress coming out of that.
You heard Alderman Rosa say that this will give a greater voice to the people who live in the neighborhoods. Even if I accept your argument that it probably won't, or if it doesn't, it will at least incorporate more involvement with people in the neighborhoods, which has got to be at least that's a good thing.
I agree that's sorely lacking, and I agree that's a little bit of progress, but what we really need is actual improvement in policing. And that comes from professionalization of the department and depoliticizing the department, getting the mayor out of policing. That doesn't happen with this plan. I think it's going to be a platform for a lot of people who have pretty radical views about how policing should or shouldn't be done. And you're not going to make progress on the consent decree. I don't think it's going to make community police relations necessarily much better. What would make those relations better is professionalizing the department and making all the improvements outlined in the consent decree.
Talking to Austin Berg from the Illinois Policy Institute, so what would you like to see then? The mayor taken out of the police decision-making altogether?
No, I think we have a really good model from other cities, and specifically Los Angeles. This is what we're proposing. What was just created in Chicago is unlike anything in any other big city in the country. And Chicago just needs to start being humble and look to what other big cities have done to tackle these challenges. In L.A., with their model, went through a consent decree that radically improved policing in the city. They had one of the worst police departments in the country, most infamous following the Rodney King riots and Rampart scandal. They got out of it with a police commission that's essentially, I believe, 5 members appointed by the mayor, but very difficult to remove those members. So it takes the mayor out of it. Very professional, meeting on a weekly basis. They have an executive director, and they have real policymaking authority.
Hire and fire the chief.
Authority.
In L.A., yep. They can fire and hire the chief.
Correct.
Okay. All right. So there's that. The other reason I wanted to talk to you this week was about the plan from Brian Hopkins. We had Alderman Hopkins on yesterday. I think you and I have talked about this before. We're talking to Austin Berg from the Illinois Policy Institute. He wants to formalize the power of aldermen to choose their ward superintendents, the guys in charge of cleaning the streets, picking up the garbage, and things like that. And you, I think, in an email with me yesterday, called it an absurd idea. Why do you think it's a, why do you think it's an absurd idea?
So I do give a lot of kudos to Alderman Hopkins for at least being honest about this. And I think you did a fantastic interview with him, and he was talking about how, hey, I got elected because I want to do the street cleaning. I want to keep the alleys clean. I want to have all these ombudsman-like functions. And politics in this legislative body just isn't the place for that. If that's something we have elected officials that are passionate about, they should go work and have an honorable career and jobs at Streets and Sand or at some city department. They're not legislators. And this is actually very intimately tied to what we were just talking about. If city council did its job as a legislative body, considering citywide matters that are really important, you wouldn't need another 66 elected officials just to deal with policing. That's what we elect city council members for.
Austin
Instead,
Berg.
Instead, they're obsessed with these city service functions that don't exist in any other big city.
Austin's with the Illinois Policy Institute. Let's listen in on just a minute or so of Hopkins from yesterday.
The ward superintendent position works very well. And why would we want to mess with that? It doesn't make sense. I thought it might potentially be just sort of a vindictive act by the inspector general, who's very frustrated with his current role and doesn't feel like the city council has really listened to him. And now that he's leaving, you know, this was kind of his parting shot out the door. That was my initial reaction until I looked at his report, and I had to admit he's right, actually. The way the ward superintendent job description is written clearly does not conform with the Shackman consent decree. So, you know, our practice, I would argue, does, but our practice and the written policies did not match.
The Shackman decree had to do with whether or not the superintendent is exempt or not. But I'm interested in what you have to say, Austin Berg, about the, because, you know, we got into that. I'm glad you listened to the interview, too, where he said, you know, I get voted out if the garbage isn't picked up. He said, but he also said, we're not the old ward fiefdoms we used to be, but they're being held to account to be that sort of person. I mean, the city council members, the alders should be legislators, but they're really not legislators at all.
Right, and it's sort of a really terrible feedback loop, right? Because people get elected on promises of these city services, and then people hold them to account for those promises. The problem is the responsibilities that we entrust to these people. It's the reason why 6% of the council is under indictment. It's the reason why another two former aldermen are under indictment, and then a third is protected because he was a federal mole. Most famous for taking Viagra in exchange for official acts.
Well, wait a minute. You say 6%, like it's a big number. It's only three aldermen under federal indictment currently. I don't even know if that's a record, Austin.
I think it is a record, but yeah, that's the attitude. If you talk to these people, it's like, yeah, they don't see the connection between the fact that we're the only city that gives these political officials these service responsibilities and the fact that it's the most corrupt city legislative body in the country. The two things are intimately tied, and until you fix, you raise the bar on the expectations for city council members, it's not going to get fixed.
But
you got to take them out of their wards, and then you got to take the mayor out of city council.
It would take a whole new mindset for the voters to view the city council members as legislators and not doers in the ward. I mean, I do get Hopkins' point there, because if you live in the city, you do expect your alderman right now to make sure your garbage is picked up. And that's just the way this city has been, and to undo that would almost like see the sun coming up in the west. I mean, it's something that we'd all have to really work at to accept and understand.
So what's funny is that every other city had the same conversation 100 years ago. In the 1920s was when these functions were taken out of these ward style offices in big cities across the nation as part of the progressive era, like the capital P progressive era. And we would need the same thing in Chicago. And the way all of these cities did it was through a city charter process, which we don't have in Chicago. And the start of that would be state legislation allowing for that in Chicago, allowing for Chicagoans to draft a city charter and for residents to vote on it. and then for city council and the mayor to get serious about doing that. But you're right, it takes a total reimagining. But hey, every other big city has done it. Why not us?
Austin Berg from the Illinois Policy Institute, also member of the Mincing Rascals podcast, you can listen to at WGNradio.com. Great to talk to you again, Austin. Thank you.
Thanks so much, Steve.
You bet. The Olympics are underway. U.S. Started with the defeat. We'll talk to Ryan Burrow about that after the 4:30 news, and that's coming up from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom.